Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the WifeAbility.com morning show with your host, Adrienne Ebell. I am so excited about our time today. It's going to be an amazing call. An amazing show today. I'm excited because my wonderful, fabulous, and fearless mother-in-law is on the phone with me, and we are going to talk about maximizing the mother-in-law ministry. Many people don't like to talk about the in-law ministry, but it's definitely a ministry. And so we're going to expose and reveal some things that God wants us to know about our extended family, and to try to take the sting off of usually when people say mother-in-law is so disgusting and so mean and very negative, but we wage war against a negative mother-in-law and daughter-in-law relationships. And so I'm thankful to have a mother-in-law that I can be proud of, and I pray that I am also making her proud. And well, she's gonna let y'all know today how she feeling. Amen. So I'm putting myself out here, y'all. So y'all pray for you, girl. All right. But I think it's going to be a fun time. I want to do the roll call and make sure my co-hosts are here. Denise, oh, are you on the show today?
I am on the show this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Denise J. Are you on the show today?
I am present and accounted for and cannot wait to hear the mother-in-law speak.
Yes, yes, I'm excited as well. And I purposefully stayed away from her because I wanted whatever she said to be from a place that only God could give her. And I'm just excited about what she's going to say, and I'll bring her in just a few moments. But right now, I just want to invite God into our conversation, and then we'll move forward. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time of fellowship. I thank you for my co-hosts, Denise J. and Denise O. I thank you for their families and their husbands. I thank you for my own husband, Father, who gives me the leeway that I need in order to minister to your people and to fellowship with the women that you put in my life. I thank you, Father, for all of the homes that are represented on this call today. Thank you for just being on this call and for ministering to those individuals who may be struggling in the area of the mother-in-law ministry, and then also those who are having great experiences, that you will continue to strengthen them, and that we stand against the evil forces of darkness that will come to try to hinder or frustrate the plan that you have for the daughter and the mother. And we thank you for strengthening the husbands, that we thank you that they don't have to choose between their mother and their wives, but they can be balanced in their love and in their relationship with the number of important women in their lives. So, Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you that you will get the glory. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So, last week, oh my God, was absolutely amazing when we talked about mental health with my girl, Felicia Houston. She was amazing. But guess what, y'all? I have great news. She has agreed to come back March 4th. So put that on your calendar. We'll be having part two of the mental health discussion and how the church does not really deal with mental health. So we at WifeAbility.com, we are going to help raise awareness about mental health. We can't have healthy marriages if we got jacked up minds. So we got to get it together, and it starts with us, and it starts at home, and it starts with awareness and helping people to understand that it's okay to need mental health. We go and get a clean bill of health for our bodies, but we also have to get a clean bill of health for our minds. So we want to make sure that we raise awareness about that. So I'm excited about Felicia coming back. So keep watching online to see so that you can see when she'll be on. Again, like I said, it's March the 4th on the 9 a.m. Show. Today, we have so much to cover, and so I pray that something is going to be said. I know that something's going to be said that's going to bless everyone. Ruth chapter 1, usually people talk about Ruth
So we get an opportunity to read Ruth chapter 1, and it talks about Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And what we try to do is we rush through Ruth to get to Boaz. But we got to remember, Naomi came first. So there wouldn't have been a Boaz until Ruth saw Naomi. She had to deal with Naomi. She was married to Naomi's son. So they had a relationship that was unbreakable. So even when Naomi was like, you know what, you go ahead and find you a man, girl. Your husband is dead. My husband is dead. My kids is dead. Naomi was going to go somewhere in the corner and just shrivel up and die. And Ruth said, uh-uh, boo, we're not doing that. We're going to go together, and we're going to go, and we're going to find some prosperity somewhere. So then that's when they left together. And I think that's the thing that no one really talks about the mother-in-law until it's time to plan for the seating chart at the wedding. We don't talk about the mother-in-law until it's the kid's birthday, and then you try to decide if you want to make sure her invitation gets lost in the mail. Amen. And then we don't talk about or deal with our mother-in-laws until it's the holidays, right? Or even with that, we wait until the mother-in-law is ill or the daughter-in-law is ill, and then everybody has to come together to try to figure out what's going on. So today we're going to dispel the myth that you cannot have a healthy in-law relationship. And then the other thing is, those of us that do have healthy in-law relationships, we don't talk about it because we don't want to jinx it. We're like, girl, listen, just good right now. Ain't nothing bad happened. So let's just, you know, I ain't going to tell nobody that I actually like my mother-in-law. That's not a good thing, ladies. If you have a good relationship with your mother-in-law, that has to be celebrated. And so today I am honored to have my fabulous and fearless mother-in-law on the line with me. Mom.
I'm right here.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, sweetheart.
And welcome to the wifeability.com morning show. And my inbox is lighting up because they're like, girl, you crazy. Why would you have your mother-in-law on the show? But I think that's the thing. You got to come from an authentic place. How can I be an intentional wife and not like my mother-in-law? That doesn't make sense. It's crazy to me how people try to be relationship experts, and they don't. Relationships is not just the sexual bond that you have with the man, but it's also those relationships around you. And when those people can, and other people are willing to have a mutually beneficial relationship, it really can work. And so I'm thankful that you're on the call. But before, Mom, before I bring you in, I want to give Denise J. an opportunity to address the audience. Denise, what type of experience have you had with the mother-in-law ministry in your marriage?
Horrible.
Absolutely. You said poor?
Horrible.
Oh, no. No. Okay. Well, tell us what you mean.
It is getting better, but she is, the in-laws are just not part of my life. As many times as I have, you know, tried to purposely include myself in conversations and events or what have you, they've made it known that, you know, we're only about my husband. And so it wasn't until about maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago that I've just gotten to a point where, okay, I just love them from a distance. And when they do include me, I embrace those moments. When they don't include me, I embrace my God. And so I had to get to a place where I didn't want to have the strife in my home or make my husband feel like he had to choose between his family and his wife.
Sure.
And it's just been a tumultuous relationship. But it also starts with me. And I realize I'm dealing with an older demographic, a certain way of expectations they have, and that they're not willing to to change because they don't see there's nothing wrong with them. And so when you're dealing with individuals like that, it's kind of hard to interject yourself into a conversation or even their life. I've learned to not expect anything from them. I used to expect, a Christmas present, a birthday card, or something. Nothing. Nothing. My mother-in-law has given me a gift one time for Christmas, once. And I just learned that, you know what, I'm a giver by nature. So whether you give to me or not, because what is given to me from above, I'm just going to give and love people because that's just who I am. I'm not going to change who I am because you're not what I expected you to be.
So I'm just
very prayerful and watchful. And again, those opportunities, when they come, I just embrace them and just love on them even more.
That's been
my experience.
That's good. I think that's amazing. And, a lot of women, that's the main thing, that they can't get to that place of, if she doesn't embrace me, I can't make it uncomfortable for her just because she makes it uncomfortable for me. And so I appreciate how you said, I'm a lover, I'm a giver, so I'm not going to alter who I am to make her comfortable. I'm going to still love on her because that's who I am. And so I'm glad that you said that, sis, because a lot of people aren't that comfortable with even putting themselves out there. But that's part of being an intentional wife and living an intentional life, is sometimes you have to make the first step, even if it's not your fault, even if it's nothing that you thought you've done wrong. It takes nothing away from your bank balance, nothing away from you other than your pride to say, you know what, I'm going to be the one that's going to reach out. It's like, well, she's older, why can't she be the one? Wisdom has no age limit on it. So if wisdom had an age limit, there should be a lot smarter older people, but I know some very, very immature old people. So wisdom definitely does not come with age. So we have to be intentional about praying for our mother-in-laws because we don't know what they've been through. We don't know. We have to remember that they're women too, and they've had challenges in their lives that they may not even be comfortable talking about. And we'll get into that a little bit deeper. Let's talk about your journey as with the mother-in-law ministry. What have you encountered?
Well, my mother-in-law is deceased. She passed October of 2013. And I would say in the beginning, it was really good the first few weeks. It was fantastic. The first few weeks, it was awesome. But then once I got married, it changed. I don't know if it was me that changed or if it had to be me. So I'll say it was me. But in the first few weeks, it was wonderful. When I first met her and we were doing a lot of things together as a couple, my husband and I, and then as a family. But then as once we got married and as the months and the years went on, the first 2 years was rocky. I was like, nope, don't want to go over there. Nope. When she called, we had caller ID, so I would motion to David like, your mom's on the phone. And when we would go over, I would either sit on the porch or sit in the car. So I didn't want to be in her presence. I didn't want to be around her, but I had to make the decision. One day I was talking to my sister-in-law on the phone, and we were having a conversation, and we didn't realize that the phone was, we didn't hang up. We were on a three-way, and we didn't hang up from, I can't remember who was on the phone. I don't know if it was my husband or my brother-in-law, and there was a situation, and we were kind of discussing the situation, and the other party heard the conversation. And so that night my husband came home, and he was just like, you know, I kind of heard what was going on, and, you know, my mother was wrong, and I'm not going to take sides. He said, but I would really like if you and my mother get along, because that's my mother. She's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I love her. She loves me. She's the rock of our family. So, you know, I would really appreciate if you could like her or try to like her or pretend to like her or act like you're going to like her or do something. So I made a decision then that, okay, this is my husband's mother. He loved her, and he loves me, and I don't want him to pick whether he's going to love me more or he's going to love his mother more or if he's going to take my side. So I didn't want that division. I didn't want my husband to go over without me. I didn't want my mother-in-law to call and not at least acknowledge her. So I had to grow up. I had to, as we always say, and Adrian say, you had to put your big girl panties on, and I had to grow up. I had to grow up. I had to make a decision to love and respect her even when she didn't respect me, even when I didn't feel like she loved me. So I made a decision early in my marriage to bridge that gap, and I didn't want any division because my husband is very close to his brothers and his sister and to his mom. So I didn't want it to be us and them. I wanted to be together. I wanted that unity. So I made a decision early on to respect my mother-in-law and love her, even when she didn't respect and love me. And I will say, in the final days of her life and the later years of our marriage, we had a good friendship. I decided to be her friend, and I decided to love on her even when. And it turned out to be a great relationship and a great friendship, and I learned a lot from her. And I want to say, ladies, mother-in-laws, mom-in-laws, mother-in-laws, mommy-in-laws, whatever, mom-in-law, they have wisdom. They may not display it the way we want to, but if you just sit and listen, you will learn a whole lot about your husband, the dynamics of the family, and you will learn. If you just be quiet and listen, you will learn some good things and some bad things, some wonderful nuggets to add into your marriage and to help you along the way. So it turned out to be a great relationship. Yes.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So talk about those end times when, as you had to, I think this is the part that people don't like to deal with, when you and your husband were going through the transition of her going from earth to glory. What was that like? Because that's the part people don't want to talk about. You might not like your mother-in-law right now, or you might have an issue with her, but what if she has to come live with you? But everybody's parents, you know, that's a transition. That's a part of marriage that people don't talk about, that when your father dies, when my father died, so my husband was there for me when my father died. And that's a part of the in-law ministry that people don't talk about, because that's a dynamic of marriage that people don't even think about until it's in your face. So, Denise, how did you navigate your husband through the loss of his mom?
The one thing I had to do was make sure that I was open, that I was ready to serve my husband, and that I put my emotions and my feelings and my opinions to the side. Because what I thought should have happened or what I thought should be going on or what I thought we should have been doing didn't matter. So I had to make sure that I was there for him during the times that he was quiet, during the times that he was upset, during the time he was very verbal, during the times he was very emotional. I had to put all of what I felt should have been going on to the side. When she was first diagnosed to be very ill, we were at home, and home is Michigan. We have since located to Texas, but we were there, and we had to rotate some days to take care of her because she had to be placed in a nursing home. So, well, my husband being the oldest, a lot of times he had to be there or make some decisions that would be for the family. So we were there, but once we relocated here to Texas, a lot of times we had to get information via phone or we will Skype. A few weekends we did drive back home to see her. And so when we got the final car, I remember I was at a conference, and I guess the night before, my sister-in-law had a call, and she was like, you know, Mom, she's not doing well. We don't know how many days, how many hours, how many seconds this will be, but I just wanted you all to know that she's in her final stage of her transition. So I remember that Thursday, I asked my husband, okay, we need to get in the car. We need to get there. And he's like, well, why do we need to get there? I'm just like, because she's in her final stages. And I know if it was me, I would be there, and I would want to be there every second. And he said, no, we're not going to jump in the car. We're going to take our time. I'm in contact with my brothers and my sisters, so let me work through this the best way I can. And at first I was a little upset, like, what do you mean? That's your mother. You should be there. But I had to understand that a man and a woman deal with emotions and situations much differently, even when it comes to transition and grief and death. So, of course, I had to inbox Adrian, like, okay, this dude is crazy. We need to get there. And she said, no, you need to stop. You need to listen. You need to be there. You need to be in the moment. And it clicked, like, oh, it's not about you, Denise. So in that weekend as she was transitioning and we were preparing to get home, I just had to be there. I had to be open. I had to listen. I had to turn my phone on. I had to get off Facebook. Even when I was getting text messages from my family and my friends, like, you all are still home. That is crazy. You need to do this. You need to do that. And I was just in prayer. I prayed and was fasting that whole entire weekend because I wanted to be in the moment. I didn't want to regret or even having a fight with my husband in regards to how he wanted to deal with the transition of his mom. And so when he got the final call, I was at a conference, and he texted me. And I didn't answer because we were in the middle of praise and worship. And my phone was blowing up. So I'm like, okay, he's calling me over and over. So I stepped out to the side, and I don't remember him saying anything, but she's gone, and he just lost it. And so the one thing he said was, you don't have to come home. You stay at the conference. So a little part of me was just like, yeah, I'm gonna stay here. He's good. You know, there's nothing we can do. Okay, you know, he's gonna stay here. But with wisdom, I said, no, that means I need you. So I got on the road. I got back home. And when he seen me, it was just, I was there. So I had to, again, put all of what Denise thought should have happened or what I thought should have what we should have done, and just followed his lead. There was times that he was silent the first night. He was just kind of quiet the whole time, and that's not with David. David is a talker, so I was just there. I held him. I made sure that he ate, made sure that he had his water, and I was there. I was just there, and I didn't say much.
Good.
So
that's good.
I was there
that's
to
good.
Serve him. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's good. So I'm proud of you because that's the part of marriage that people don't like to talk about. And so as we transition and I bring my mother-in-law in, Mom, let's talk about one of the things that I appreciate about our relationship is the intentionality of it and the ability to talk through, and you have a saying that you say, unpack things. So even when difficult situations come up, you have been wanted to make sure that we always talk through whatever's going on. So if you could just share your experience as a mother-in-law and what you can share with other mother-in-laws that you may have learned during our experience.
Well, thank you for having me on the show, Adrian, and for all the ladies, I just want to let you know that I am just so godly proud, and I'm old school in saying godly proud of my daughter and all that she has accomplished. She is an extremely gifted and anointed woman of God, and I'm blessed that she is not only my daughter, but she's also my friend. What I would say about being a mother-in-law is there's no training program for being a mother-in-law, and if you are blessed to have had good examples or positive examples in terms of how your mother and father relate to their respective parents, then, you know, you can use that as a guide, and if it's a positive one, then at least you have somewhat of a foundation from which to launch a relationship with your children's spouses. But it's a little different dynamic because in my case, you know, I raised sons. So my interaction with raising girls was very, very limited. And so That was one dynamic to deal with, is relating to woman to woman rather than mother to son. And for all of you who have been on the line that have shared, there's a very different dynamic between a mother and a son.
Right.
And it's one that can present some challenges with those other relationships that impact that relationship between the mother and the son. And it's been so interesting to listen to the ladies share about their experiences, because and one phrase that I believe it was Denise O said, that Adrian talked about putting on your big girl panties, is that you get to a phase in your life where you have to make some decisions. And just like Naomi had two daughter-in-laws, Orpah decided to go back to her people, but Ruth decided to stay. And it talks about them leaving their land and heading to Bethlehem. And at some point you realize that your destiny and what God has for you as a mother-in-law or as a daughter-in-law is very much tied to the journey that you have, the relationship that you have with your mother-in-law, because your mother-in-law is the one person who's an expert on the one that raised your mate.
That's good.
So she has a lot of wisdom to impart about that person, the traits that they have, be they good, be they bad, but that person is an expert on your mate. So they have a lot of information about why that person is the way that they are. So that's one dynamic. Another one is sometimes we have to just put our big girl panties on and recognize, in order for me to be complete, to navigate life, sometimes you have to consult the elders or the ones who walked in those shoes before.
That's right.
And if we take the time to talk to the mother-in-laws, you will discover, even if the relationship is not a good one, you will discover that that woman has gotten to this point by having navigated some extremely difficult circumstances.
Amen.
And chances are some of those circumstances you may be faced with, be they navigating a society that diminishes or marginalizes you as a woman, being having to navigate a society where you, as a black woman, that there are certain preconceived notions as to who you are and who your gifts are, but they found a way to navigate that. They found a way to make a place and a space for a family. And in most instances, they've had to do that sometimes by themselves or sometimes
right.
with not having everything in place that they wanted to have in place. But in order to have that communication, sometimes the daughter-in-laws have to be the ones to initiate that exchange.
That's good.
Generally, women, you know, women who are in pain recover in different ways. And if you peel that onion back, you know, layer by layer by layer, you will sometimes discover why a mother-in-law, why the personality, why the behavior is the way that you see it. And then you can, you know, kind of start to see there may be some similarities in that. I know when I was dating, my mother told me, you know, you will understand how you will be treated as a wife when you look at how your boyfriend treats his mother. Boyfriend treats the mother badly, chances are he's going to treat you as a wife badly. Because that's a tremendous bond. That's a tremendous relationship, that relationship between mother and son. And so it kind of gives you a glimpse into your future if that relationship is good between your husband and his mother. And if that's a good relationship, you can start to build from there, even if it's one where, you know, the mother-in-law is the gatekeeper as to who has access to the son. You know, that can be fraught with challenges as well. And then you have to kind of try to unpack it. And, you know, I don't mean to present myself as having all of the answers on the show today, but I'm happy to have an opportunity to celebrate a good relationship with another woman of God. And as I begin to discover and continue to discover, because all of us are on this journey, to discover my purpose and my destiny for what God has for me, he has put Adrian in my life as a part of that discovery process. So when as long as that relationship is a good one, it's a mutually beneficial one. But Adrian had to see some benefit at working on our relationship, and I had to see some benefit in working on the relationship because, ladies, the relationship we have today is not the relationship we started out with.
Oh, Jesus.
One that was fraught with challenge and difficulty and pain and struggle. But the one thing that I do know is that, and I heard one of the ladies say earlier, was that her husband said, I want to give you all the opportunity to work it out, is that my son Donald had to take himself out of, he just said, Mom, you and Adrian going to have to work it out. You know, and sometimes mothers and mother-in-laws, we don't realize the terrible predicament we put our sons in when we make them choose between their wife and their mother. That's real pain.
Yeah.
And, you know, as much as you may have issue with your daughter-in-law, you don't want to put your son in that predicament. And because it puts too much weight on, you know, their household. And, you know, as we began to navigate this journey, you know, we began to discover, one, we were much more alike than we were different, which was probably one of the reasons why we had so many challenges. When you put the two of us in a room, it's a whole lot of diva estrogen going on. And sometimes that's a lot to manage because we can fill up a room real quick.
But I submit to your diva-ness, mother. I submit. I will take the number two spot.
But
every woman can't do that. You know, I don't have a problem submitting. Yeah.
That's very true. And Adrian, and to your point about submitting, a lot of this journey is really about choice.
Yeah.
You know, when it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, it's amazing how much we can control when we choose to think a certain way.
Mm.
We can choose negativity or we can choose to be positive. We can choose to have stank attitude or we can choose to say, let me pray about it, keep my mouth shut for a minute, let the Lord speak to me, and then respond.
That's right.
Because once words go out, it's difficult reining them back in. But we have a lot of choice. And a lot of times we just choose, we have the luxury of choosing to be self-centered or the luxury of choosing to be selfish just because we can.
Mm.
But when you dial it back a little bit, you find out that you've got this host of women out here, this sisterhood, this amazing sisterhood, that's willing to share with you, because a lot of women, we really don't want to see some of our sisters, our daughters, our friends, our sister girls make some of the mistakes that we made.
Right.
And, you know, and I'll share, my mother-in-law and I did not have a good relationship initially because she had raised four children by herself, and she was the typical lioness mother. My husband was the baby and the only boy.
Wow.
So she had no boundaries. You know, she didn't have any boundaries when it came to our family. But as I got older, I began to uncover that this little woman by herself was able to keep a family together by herself. I threw away 20 years just being selfish and distant before I started going through some of those challenges of, like, I can't do this by myself. I need some help. And she was a wealth of wisdom. And how do you keep a family together when you're by yourself?
Wow.
You know, she was one. She gave until it hurt her to keep those four little children together, because with her it was God and family first.
Wow.
And You know, I learned that from her, and then I started learning what it was. It was God's family and them 9 grandsons of her that she'd fight anybody for.
Mm-hmm.
And she brought them together every summer from all over the country to spend 2 weeks at her house. She couldn't drive. She would make sure they got where they wanted to go, to the amusement park, spoil them. And today, you know, they're close because of that time at Grandma's house. Because
right.
Grandmas can give your children stuff that mamas can't give.
I know that's right. Ladies, I didn't, the first, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years, I never bought my children any clothes. So I don't know. I didn't even really know what size they wore because my mom, she bought my children everything. And even with me, sometimes Donald, even now, my husband, when he introduces me, he says, I'm married to her daughter now, because it's crazy how we've kind of switched roles, because, you know, she has been very, very intentional about, once we got past our struggle, once we were able to put all the cards on the table, and that's the solution, ladies. The key is putting the cards on the table. You got to put it on the table and find out. And, Mom, if you agree with me, most of what we encountered once we talked, we had a lot of assumptions that we had made, a lot of things that I thought, and a lot of things that you thought, and we never even had given each other an opportunity to discuss anything. And then let me put myself out here. I mean, I was 19 when I met Donald, and we started off wrong. We were just wrong. So how you start a relationship, you can't be mad at the mom if your relationship started out raggedy. And some of us, some women, we get into relationships with these men, and they're either married already. So some of us are Mary Jane, amen, and so we have to realize how we start a relationship. You cannot have a relationship with your husband independent from his mother. It's just, I mean, people say things like, well, I have a relationship, I mean, you know, I don't have a relationship with her, you know, I'll see her when I see her, and that's not the type of relationship that God wants us to have. He wants us to have an authentic relationship, and we don't have to always agree. Mom and I don't always agree, but we agree to disagree, and we move on. I don't sit there and say, well, I just feel like she should agree with me. And, I mean, and she doesn't come off to me as the type that would have to go tell somebody else how she feels about me, because she's going to tell me. I'm going to tell her. And that's the thing. We fill our husband's head with so much of how we feel about their mothers. That is wrong, ladies. It is a form of manipulation that we have to be accountable for. If you cannot say how you feel to your mother-in-law about, if you have something to say about her, don't tell your husband to tell her. You tell her. And if you're too much of a coward, then you probably shouldn't be saying it in the first place. Okay? So what we want to do is make sure, and Mom, thank you for sharing how you your thoughts, and I want to just put these points out here. I want you to think about these 10 things, and you actually touched on this. Number one, remember that your mother-in-law is a woman too, and you never know what she's gone through. Take a moment and ask her about her life. Some of us come into a relationship with our husbands on guard. We come in with a preconceived notion about the mother-in-law, so or the potential mother-in-law if you all are engaged. Now, some mother-in-laws are very overbearing, like you said about your mother-in-law, Mom, she didn't have any boundaries. But we have to create healthy boundaries. There's just some things, some subjects we just don't talk about. That doesn't make us, it doesn't make us bad. It doesn't make it feel real. It's just, even with any relationship that you have, it's certain things that you just don't talk about. And not in a negative way, but it's like, you know what, that's a touchy subject for me. I'm not comfortable talking to you about that, so we just won't talk about it. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It's just that sometimes relationships aren't at a level where we can discuss certain things. And I think sometimes women get upset because their mother-in-law may not be, quote-unquote, feeling them. But they got to figure out, especially if your son has had multiple females or been engaged multiple times or even been married multiple times, she's trying to figure out how long you going to stick around. How long are you going to be in the picture? What do you want from my son?
What? Because some of us, we start the relationship wrong. So we have to make sure that we come into the relationship the right way. And I can truly say that I did not come into the relationship the right way because I was arrogant. I had a lot of pride. I was very mouthy, very disrespectful, because I felt I had something to prove. And so they're looking at me like, where did you get this girl from? What's wrong with her? You know, and so we have to own our stuff too, ladies. So it can't be the mother-in-law all the time. Now, some of us do have some really off-trade mother-in-law, so I'm not trying to get her off the hook just because some people say to me, well, you can say that now. But my thing is this. What I made the first step to create a relationship with my mother-in-law. I did that, not because I wanted to be the hero or whatever, but I asked God. We say to God, Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit and do this, and we want to pray and be all deep. And so God will be like, okay, how about you go deal with your mother-in-law? How about that? Because if we can't deal with interpersonal relationships or familial family relationships, how are we going to make million-dollar business deals? How are we going to have relationships with other people, and we can't have relationships with the woman that's closest to his mother, with the woman that's closest to your husband? You have to make sure that that's a relationship, even if it's on the merit of your relationship with your husband. That's okay. It may start out that way, but I longed for a relationship with my mother-in-law because I wanted one. I was pregnant with my son, and I didn't want to raise my children to hate my mother-in-law, because I know people that do that, that they teach their kids, we don't like her, we don't like your dad's mother, we don't, you know, they call her all kind of names, and they have code names that they have for the mother-in-laws, and that's ugly, and it's manipulative, and God is not pleased. So we have to ask ourselves, you cannot control what your mother-in-law does, but you can control what you do. You can control the respect level. You can control how you relate and how you connect with her. But don't make your husband be the referee. He is not the referee of that relationship. He is to pray and ask God for wisdom. But then husbands, those of you that are listening, don't call your mama and tell her about y'all's business. Don't call your daddy, ladies, and tell your dad about what your husband is or is not doing, because what happens is we focus a lot on the mother-in-law, but some of these father-in-laws are off the chain too, okay? But we don't talk about that because usually the mother-in-law gets the bashing. She's the one that gets bashed, and she's the one that gets the most. It's like, oh my God, mother-in-law. It just, The fact that you say the word, people just cringe, and that's not the order of God. That is not what he wants us to do. So number two, remember she is your husband's mother, so that's enough to stress anyone out. I remember the first time my mom and dad came, my in-laws came to our house, and I had to make Christmas dinner, or I think it was Thanksgiving dinner. Oh, my God, I was so nervous, and I was on the phone with my mother. She was like, girl, calm down. Speaking of my mother, I want to give a shout-out to my mom, because I remember years ago when my mom and I would call my mom, and I'm like, Mom, I don't know what to do. And my mom prophesied years ago. She said, that lady is going to be one of your best friends. I laughed so hard. I said, she crazy. She ain't going to be my friend. And my mom said, I promise you, she is going to be one of your best friends. And to this day, I can truly say, when something happens, you know who's in your circle. When there's a death, when there's something exciting, whoever's in your top five, usually my mother-in-law is in my top five. I can call her and say, oh, let me tell you what happened, or let me tell you about this. And that's a relationship that you have to cultivate. And I thank God that my biological mother prophesied that into my life, that she knew that if I would make the first step, that God would give me the relationship that he knew that I needed to have in my life. Number three, you may not like your mother-in-law, but you have to respect her. You may not like her, but you have to respect her. Respect is that thing where that you want to cuss her out, you want to call her out of her name, you want to say all the things that she says to you. You don't have to reciprocate negativity. Just because she does it doesn't mean you have to do it. Number four, don't be nice to her just so your husband will be nice to you. You have to have an authentic
relationship with her that's independent of your husband. Because what if your husband dies, unfortunately? What if he dies? You still have to have some kind of relationship with her, especially if you have children. Your children are going to graduate from high school. You're not going to invite the mother-in-law? So those are the type of things we don't talk about. Number five, do not call his mother to tell on your husband. I am guilty. I remember one time, Mama, I wonder, do you remember this? I called you one day, and I called myself telling you what Donald did, and you were like, okay. I mean, he didn't ask you to do that. And I said, I'm thinking she was going to be on my side, and she was like, no. But she stood for what was right. She didn't choose sides. And so mother-in-law, take that as an example. It's not about choosing your son's side. It's about choosing what's right. So if the son is wrong, say that he's wrong. If the daughter is wrong, say that she's wrong, because that's what the true mother-in-law ministry is. It's a reinforcement of the mother relationship that a daughter should already have with her mother, or the son should already have with his mother. So it should be a reinforcement. And I'm thankful that my mom and my mother-in-law have a relationship that's independent from me. And Mom, how did you become comfortable with having a relationship with my mother?
I have to give credit where it's due. Your mother is just an incredible woman. And as you get older in life and you go through different things and you recognize that godly women are in real short supply now. Godly women of character are in short supply. So when God puts one in your life, whether it's your daughter-in-law's mother or, your nephew's second cousin removed, those are people that will be with you, that have a connection with God, help you on your life journey. Those are people that you just want to be close to. Your mother is such a powerful, godly woman that she's just somebody you just want to be around. And that made me want to develop a relationship with her, because your mother is really closer to my mother's age than she is to my age.
Right.
But she has maintained, she just has a very youthful outlook. She has a perspective that's fresh, and she's open to change.
Yes, she is.
And
absolutely.
So many people, as women, as they get older, they become more and more closed. Your mother is a very open woman, and she's just a jewel that you just want to be around.
Oh, Lord, don't. I know she's listening, like, popping her collar wherever she is, like, yeah, that's me. Love you, Mom. I know she's going to get me later. Number six, do not cause your children to hate or dislike your mother-in-law. Like I said earlier, don't tell your kids, but we don't like Mimi, because my kids call my mother-in-law Mimi. So, how would I – and you can tell when the kids have been talking about – the mother has been talking about to the mother-in-law to the kids, because the kids are shady, don't want to hug her when they come over. Well, my mama said, what? Absolutely not. You do not include your children in whatever drama you have with your mother-in-law. That is absolutely out of order. Number seven, don't manipulate your husband to get back at his mother. Just because the mother-in-law did something to you that you didn't like, don't make him do something to her to appease you. That's manipulation, ladies. It's witchcraft. And don't use your vagina to say to your husband, if you don't fix whatever's up with your mother, you're not getting none. That's absolutely out of order. Okay? Number eight, don't make your husband choose between his mother and you. We talked about that earlier. Mom mentioned that earlier. It's unfair. So we don't even know what it's like. It's already a lot of pressure to be a man as it is, and then to have your two favorite women in the world to fight. Do you know what kind of anguish that is for a man to have to deal with the two women that he loves? That's not fair. So if for no other reason, at least be respectful of your roles in your husband's life and in your son's life. So it's not about you. It's not about either of you, really. It's really about God and us creating
a generation, when we have children, we're now creating the next generation. So it's not about just me and my mother-in-law being good friends and whatever, and that's good. But we also I have a 9-year-old daughter that I have to prepare the way for. I have to prepare her to be someone's daughter-in-law. I have to prepare her to be someone's wife. So how I relate to my mother-in-law and how she relates to me has a direct reflection on the next generation. So we got to stop thinking about what's happening in the moment and think about the future. Number 9, don't try to beat her loving your husband. Don't try to beat your mother-in-law loving your husband. There is no competition when it comes to a mother's love for her son. So as I don't care, you can have sex with him every day, every hour of the day. The type of love that he has for his mother has nothing to do with your vagina, has nothing to do with what you cook for him, has nothing to do with that. You have to have an authentic relationship with her that has nothing to do with him because she is a woman. And if you say you're a woman of God and you don't like your mother-in-law, then you're not a woman of God. Because if we're all going to heaven, your mother-in-law is going to be there too. Hello? So we got to get it together. Number 10, your mother-in-law needs your love too. Even if she doesn't admit it to you, ask God to give you a spirit of discernment to say, okay, God, how can I navigate through this situation? Same thing with the daughter. Ask mother-in-laws, ask God to show you, how can I be there for her? No one showed me, Lord, but show me how I can be what I didn't have. That does, just because you didn't have it doesn't give you an excuse or a pass not to be the mother-in-law that you are called to be. It's bigger than just being your son. That's not just your son's wife. Because I hear mother-in-law say, oh, my son's wife, and the disdain that comes with that. But God is listening to that, ladies. He's hearing that. That's why a lot of us have sickness in our bodies because of how we hate our mother-in-laws or hate our daughter-in-laws. And I don't got time to be sick. Me and my mama are too cute to be sick. So
I know that
we travel. We travel too much. And it's funny because now people say I look like her. So I'm like, are you her daughter or are you her daughter-in-law? That's how you know when you really love somebody, when people can see you and say, wow, I can see the connection. But the wonderful thing is I have my own identity. I'm not trying to be her. I am who I am, but I have no problem. I think it's a blessing and an honor for people to say to me, my mother-in-law is a very powerful woman. She will never tell y'all who she really is, but she's going to be coming out with her book real soon. Amen. But I'm going to let that go. But anyway, she's a very powerful woman, but she doesn't wear the T-shirt and say that. She just does what she does, and she's a chief servant, and she understands that role. But here's the thing. God will bless you. Start with your mother-in-law ministry. Start with your daughter-in-law ministry. Ask God, you know what, maybe this is what's holding up the success of my business. Maybe this is what's holding up the success of the goals and dreams that I have. It could be something that that's not even in your radar because you put it so far under the rug, you put it so far behind you that you don't even realize, wow, I got to go back and get that. I got to go back and fix that. So I'm talking to the daughter-in-law that's on this show, listening to this show, that said, I don't care what you say. I'm not calling my mother-in-law. I'm not dealing with her. You know what? Then you are operating in a spirit of unforgiveness, and every prayer that you prayed is being hindered because you cannot expect blessings from God and have unforgiveness in your heart towards your mother-in-law. And so it is, and the same thing with your daughter-in-law. Mothers, you have to let it go. Even if she did something that was wrong, how do we look? My husband and I have been married almost 14 years in June. How does it look, me and her still holding on to stuff that happened 14 years ago before my kids even were conceived? That's crazy. Nobody can live an authentic life that way. We have to decide. You can't be an intentional wife part of being an intentional wife is being an intentional daughter-in-law and an intentional mother-in-law. Because it's a family. It's a relationship, especially when children are involved, that it has to be authentic because kids know when you're being fake. So if you want to have an authentic relationship with your mother-in-law, with your daughter-in-law, be the first one to make the first move. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you mature. It doesn't make you weak. It makes you a woman of God that you say that you are. So, Mom, as we wrap up this call that we can –
stay on if we need to, but I want to make sure that I give you opportunity. I just want you to pray, have closing remarks, and I just want you to pray for those, for the mother-in-law who are struggling with their relationship with their daughter-in-law, and then the same thing with the mother, with the daughters. How pray that they relate and find a way to relate to their mother-in-laws, and that it doesn't have to be that way.
I would love to do that, Adrian. In life, the one thing that we have control over is the choices that we make. And my prayer is that from this radio show that some mother-in-laws will make a choice to pray about your ministry as a mother-in-law, to pray about your ministry as a bridge builder, because you are the bridge to another generation, that you would pray and that God would give you the wisdom of the next step that you need to take, that some daughter-in-law would make this step to trust God to reach out one more time. Don't throw this relationship away because it's too important. It's too important. And it's all about family. And life has become so difficult, and the world has become so evil that we must create a place where our children are going to get the nourishment that they need to navigate an even more evil society. I can't even imagine what this world is going to be like in 10 years or 20 years. So that's why we have to do all that we can right now to equip our daughters, our sons, and our grandchildren to be able to navigate it, and above all, to stand for God. Mm-hmm. And they can't stand for God if they're disconnected from the family. That's very, very difficult to do. Okay? So let us go to the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank and praise you for being the God of our lives. Lord, we thank you that you loved us enough to give your beloved Son to die that we might have the right to be the sons and daughters that you're calling us to be. Oh, God, in these last and evil days, we ask that you would give us the courage, the discernment, and most of all, the desire to just be the women of God that you called us to be. And that means praying, that means having a spirit of forgiveness, and that means living for you each and every day. Give us the courage, Lord, to have difficult conversations, because as long as you are in the center of difficult conversations, Lord, there can be some resolution. There can be some healing. There can be some moving forward, because we don't have to stay where we are today. Lord, we thank and praise you for the women who are on this call today, Lord, because there is no accident. There is no coincidence that they are all here by a divine assignment to get something that they need to move forward in their lives on their path to destiny. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. We love you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you so much, Mom. That was amazing, and my inbox is going crazy. So if you have any questions, go ahead and continue to inbox me. Even after we go off the air, we will stay on a few more minutes if you have questions. Denise, one thing we forgot to mention as you were talking about the transition with your mom, what was the one thing that you had to do that you never thought in a million years that you had to do?
The one thing I had to do that I didn't think I would have to do in a million, tri-million years was pick out my mother-in-law's final outfit for her presentation of the funeral.
Ooh.
The viewing of the body and her last outfit before she would be laid to rest. And that was actually when my sister-in-law she was very overwhelmed because there's just one girl in the family, and she looked at me. We were sitting at the table, and she said, "I need you to do me a favor." And I'm looking at her like, "Okay." She said, "I need you to pick up Mom's outfit for the funeral." And David and I sat in there. We're like, and David looked at me, and I looked at him. I'm like, "Oh my Lord!" So I will say, that was one of the moments that we got to the store, and I kind of like was really freaking out, but I stopped, I breathed, I prayed, and it was the best thing that I could have ever done. My husband and I, we were in the store together, and we were, like, really putting some colors together. My husband looked at me, and he was just like, I don't know what to pick. I don't know what color. He said, so I'm trusting you, and I trust you, and I love you, and whatever you want mom to look like, that's what she's going to look like, and, you know, you were made for this. So picking out her final outfit and her jewelry and everything was such an honor. It was such a blessing, and you never know what your assignments are and what God have you to do, even in the beginning and at the end. So like Adrian said, you're running away from your mother-in-law. You're going to have to face it one day. You run away from your daughter-in-law. You have
it
to face
might
it
be
one day.
Not the way you thought it was going to be.
It might not be the way that you thought it would be. So it was an honor. It was a blessing. And it was very emotional, but I must say that it was almost like that time for her and our final time together. And it was absolutely amazing.
Wow. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But Mama, just in case, tell me what color you want to wear so I can make sure that you look good.
Look, I don't care about the color. You just make sure that my eyebrows are done and I don't have no hairs growing out of my chin.
And my mother-in-law, she loved makeup and lipstick and pink, and she loved to look pretty all the time. So I made sure she had her pink. I made sure she had her pink lipstick, and her nails were polished prior to her transition and the color pink. So it was phenomenal. And that was the first thing my husband said, what color do you think? I said, you know what? We're going to do pink. And because she loves colors and she loves really pretty, so pink was just the color. And I called my sister-in-law just to make sure, because, again, I wanted everyone to be a part of the process and not about me and the card. I said, what do you think about pink and cream? She was like, go with it. That is, yes, Denise, that is it. So, yeah, I made sure I got her approval, too. But, yeah, it was an awesome, awesome experience.
Wow.
And I will say Adrian was coaching me through it, too, because I was inboxing Adrian like, Adrian, I have to fix you. Just like, look, you can do this. You can do this. So it was wonderful. It was wonderful.
That's amazing. I mean, and that's the thing that people don't realize, is that you don't know what level of interaction you have to have with your mother-in-law. What about when the time when your husband comes to you and say, hey, I want my mom to come live with me. I want my mom to come live with us. And then you've been nasty to her for the last 25 years. So then now you're uncomfortable because you know how mean you've been to her. Or what if your mother-in-law got to come take care of you? How about that? See, nobody talks about the fact that your husband may need some help with your children, that you may be teaching to not like the kids, or to the kids not like the mother-in-law. So, see, we forget about that kind of stuff. God will put us in a situation where we're trying to figure out, now, how in the world did I get here? So if you had a relationship with her that was toxic, and then now you have to deal with her, then it's like, wow, I missed out on all that I had, that God saw that was coming down the pike, that I've been nasty all of this time. So that's why it pays to get it right now. Ladies, this was an amazing call, amazing show,
yeah.
And I thank you so much for being with me today. I know Denise J has another call that she does, another show call that she does at 10, she's in California, so she does her call at 7 a.m. there. So I just want to thank you both, the three of you, for joining me today. It was a very, this is something that people don't like to talk about because it's uncomfortable, but like I said, my mother-in-law is fearless, and she, when I asked her to do it, I didn't think she would, but then I didn't think she wouldn't, because we have nothing to hide. We have nothing to you know, have to sugarcoat, because we really work hard at having an authentic relationship. And so, Mom, I want to publicly thank you. I think I thank you privately quite a bit, but I want to thank you publicly for the authentic relationship that we truly have.
You are so welcome, so welcome. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.